Welcome to another episode of By His Grace. Today, I'm delighted to have my friend Katie Reed on the podcast. Katie, welcome to By His Grace.
Thanks so much for having me, Misty. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, Katie, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about you if they don't know you already?
I would love to. So I'm Katie Reed. I'm an author, speaker, singer-songwriter, and I'm married to my husband, Adam. He became the lead pastor at our church in January, and we have five loud and wonderful kids, and we live here in the middle of Michigan.
Oh, that's great. So I learned something that I didn't know about you because I didn't know you were a singer and songwriter. How fun is that? You also do live during the week with your husband called Hammock Time or Fireplace Chats. Yeah. How fun is that?
We have a lot of fun. We love, I mean, selfishly, it's for us to hang out, you know, be intentional together, yeah. But we love to encourage couples to get closer and grow deeper, and we get to interview some people, and it's lots of fun.
That's fantastic. So, today, we're going to talk about something that you've struggled with for a huge part of your life, and that is the law versus grace. So let's just jump right into it, and why don't you tell me about that?
Well, yeah, it's been a journey. So I'm a firstborn girl. I like to get things done, pretty driven, you know, determined, as I like to say, instead of bossy. But for as long as I can remember, you know, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 4. And then I actually asked him in a couple more times just to make sure, like I had done it, which is really bad theology. But God reminded me of like, hey, you asked me into your heart in childlike faith, and that counts, you know. But I knew I was saved by God's grace, but yet I lived as if it was all up to me to keep him happy, to keep him pleased. So I lived pretty legalistically, you know, like, well, if I don't have my quiet time, you know, God doesn't love me as much. Or if I'm, you know, if I sin, then you know, he's just going to be mad at me. And there's this, all of these things. And so it was an exhausting way to live because I was constantly measuring myself and others by their outward behavior, which is really... That's not where it all starts, right? God dies for us. Jesus dies for us. We receive him by faith, and his grace is a gift for us to receive. It's not this prize to be earned. And when God showed me that, it was right around my 40th birthday, it changed so much. And I explain it like this. It's like my thinking was foggy, and all of a sudden it was like I could see clearly. And the funny thing was, it wasn't like, oh, I worked so hard to understand it. It was a gift God gave me to understand what it looked like.
Wow, that's really incredible. Well, I have a similar journey in that I asked Jesus into my heart at 6 years old, but then I went way far off the reservation, as I would say, through my youth. And this is a concept that I really struggled with. But once my faith was solidified and in my pursuit to want to love the Lord more, I began doing things that I thought would be more pleasing to the Lord. And I found myself, the more I wanted to please the Lord, I actually became more bound up in legalism.
Yeah. Yeah, that absolutely can happen. And I think we can have good intentions, right?
Right.
We love the Lord. We want to, you know, do the right things. But sometimes I realized, is it because I want to do the right things or because I want people to like me, you know, God included? And it was interesting because as someone who had worked so hard to, you know, keep up appearances, when all of a sudden I realized I didn't have to do that, I felt lost. It was like, now what am I supposed to do? If I don't have to do all these things, you know, who am I in Christ? And I had a mentor tell me, you need to give yourself grace as you're figuring out grace. And an infant, you know, we don't expect them, or a toddler, when they're learning to walk, they're going to fall down, right? They're going to toddle around, and we're not exasperated with them. Like, you need to get this perfectly right now. And that's like God's heart towards us too. Yes, he wants us to learn to walk in freedom and walk in grace. But when you've been walking so long, kind of as a slave, right, instead of a daughter, then it can be tricky to find your footing when you have so much freedom. I like to know expectations so I can meet them or exceed them. And when it feels more open-ended, it makes me feel unsettled. But I think sometimes the other thing people say is, oh, when you get a hold of grace, people are just going to go off the deep end. You know, they're going to take advantage of grace. But the thing is, when you realize what God has given you that you did not deserve one iota, you feel so thankful. And so then your works become an expression of that thanks. And you do them because you know you're already loved, versus before, I did those things to try to get his love that I already had. And so now I remember talking to my friend, Jamie Amrine, who also lives down near you. And we were talking about this, like we felt dumb. Like, how did we not get this? Like, I know people preached grace growing up, but it wasn't till that moment, like of those decades of being in bondage and then being set free, to realize like, wow, like, yes, I was a Christian, but I was off base in this works grace mentality.
You know, God really had to get my attention. So I had a bicycling accident a couple of years ago where I flew off the top of my, off the handlebars, and I wasn't wearing a helmet, and I put my arms out to brace my fall. And when I did, I snapped both my arms, and I lived in a
Misty.
House. I know. I live in a house full of boys that are homeschooled, and, I couldn't do anything for myself, not anything. And I am a doer, and, you know, to sit and not be able to do any, I mean, couldn't brush my teeth or wash my face or dress myself or cook or feed. I couldn't even feed myself. My children had to feed me. And it was such a humbling experience. And I, it took me a year to fully heal and to get back. And during that time, I could not do anything. Literally, I could do nothing for myself. I couldn't do anything for anyone else. And all I could do was sit there and receive from the Lord, because I spent a lot of time in prayer. And that's where he showed me, I love you. Like, not for anything that you do for me. I love you because I created you. And I think that is the thing that a lot of women struggle with, because we have these messages in society that tell us where we should get our identity from, mm-hmm. when all along our identity is in Christ. So could you speak to that a little bit?
I would love to. And wow, I can't, that would be so hard. God's grace got you through that, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's what started my writing journey, because I knew during that time that he wanted me to write and speak. And I, you know, I was just comfortable in my life and when where I was. But after sitting for a year, I was like, okay, now is the time. And so that's part of why we're here today. But he taught me so much about his grace. And my identity and where I was getting, because I was getting my identity in the things that I was doing, you know? And I think, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I homeschool, I do so, but first and foremost, I'm a daughter of the King. And he, like you said, and it's not that we do these things, to prove ourselves, but once we know how great of sacrifice that the Lord and what he has done for us, it's out of a heart overflowing with love that we want to love and serve him.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it's tricky for women that are made like Martha, that are made like we are, that are go-getters, that are doers, because the message out there is do that more, you know, reach the top, be the best, you know. The exciting thing is there's opportunities for women like never before. It's an exciting time to live. But I think many of us are trying to find, like, what does this look like? We have all these, you know, freedoms and opportunities, but we don't want to neglect our families in the process. And so I think for doers, it's letting God lead your day, because I don't have a problem filling my day way past capacity, but God's not necessarily asking me to do all those things or not asking me to do them right now. And so I think it takes that intentionality of, God, please steer me. Like, you're in charge of me. I am not my own boss. You know, God is a loving father. He's trustworthy and he can see what's to come. And so, God, guide me. And then I think there's people that are more made like Mary. Maybe they're a little more laid back. Maybe they're more relational than task oriented. And sometimes I think for them, the message is, yes, you know, I have things for you to accomplish, and that's a good thing. But I think it kind of depends on the lenses through which you see the world. My friend Lee is made like Mary. I'm made like Martha. And we can listen to the same song. We can read the same scripture passages and see it through our lenses. You know, she'll read something and be like, man, God loves me so much. And I'll read it being like, man, I don't measure up. And so I think this all comes into play. And I would venture to say those of us who are made like Martha probably struggle a little bit more, maybe with law versus grace, because, and this is not a bad thing, that God has hardwired us to be people that get things done and, you know, get the ball rolling and that kind of thing. But it's that slippery slope, like you said, of finding your identity in those things. And the other thing is there's a lot of chronic illness and, you know, negative health diagnoses going on. And there's women that are made like Martha that have chronic illness, right? Or have, you know, have broken arms or whatever it is. And these conflicting messages can be so hard because it's not that they don't want to get things done, but they are not able to, whether physically or mentally at that moment. And so it's so crucial that we find our identity in Christ. You know, graduations are happening right now. And if all your identity is in your kids, what happens when they leave the nest? You know, these are very important questions.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. Did God give you this message and you wrote the book, or did you begin writing the book and the message developed, or did you have some big aha moment that you just, so explain that process to me.
Well, in 2014, I decided it was time to move on to the next bucket list item, which was write a book. So I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to check that off and then I'm going to move on to the next thing. Well, it accidentally turned into a career in the process. And when I forgot to ask my husband if I could start a job because I didn't know it was going to be a job. But so I started writing back then, and this book wasn't on my heart at the time. In fact, by the time the Martha book came to my mind, I thought it was going to be a devotional. And throughout the time of working on the proposal, God was setting me free. And I think the pivotal moment was I was talking to my friend Jamie on the phone, and she was talking about grace in a way I hadn't quite heard of. And, you know, I've been in church my whole life, been a Christian since I was 4, and it almost sounded too good to be true what she was talking about. And so I'm kind of listening with skepticism and thinking of Bible verses, like trying to see if it all aligns. And all of a sudden in my mind's eye, God gave me this picture. And this is really when I think if I could put a line in the sand from kind of this law versus grace thing. But there I was in my living room. And what you might know about us is we live in a 1976 built home. It's an A-frame with two wings on the side, and it has its original orange shag carpeting. This is That's important awesome. To the story. So there I am, you know, frantically dusting, trying to get ready for company. There on the orange shag, you know, picking up Legos and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden I turn around and there is Jesus in a Lazy Boy, a well-worn plaid Lazy Boy, like picture kind of a Duck Dynasty Lazy Boy, reading the newspaper of all things. And he's like, Katie, come relax with me. And in that moment, I'm thinking, there are things to get done. Like, company is coming. And I was thinking, faith without works is dead, right? And I felt him assure me, Katie, there will be time for works. Yes, that is true. Faith without works is dead. But you've forgotten, I am not company to impress. I am family to enjoy. And it was like I was trying to get ready for him, but he already lived in the home of my heart because I had received him by faith. And I was living as if he was out there versus remembering that he was already at home through his sacrifice, his blood in my heart. And that really changed things. And I still struggle, of course, you know, with the reverting back to that slave mentality. But to realize you're delighted in by a good father who never shoos you away, isn't too busy for you, it changes. It changes your mindset. It's a different lens through which to view the world. And part of writing Made Like Martha, God showed me being made like Martha is not a bad thing. Yes, he corrected her, but he didn't reject her. And I'm not even sure he was asking her to sit down and stop working. I think he was speaking to, are you doing this out of the overflow? Or are you, you know, frantically picking up for company to impress? Or because, you know, you're acting like a slave versus a daughter. So even when our hands are busy, our souls can be at rest when we know who God is and who we are in his heart.
Ooh, that's good. That's so good. Let me ask you this. Is there a particular scripture that solidifies this concept of grace over the law for you? Is there something that you can just cling to when you think about it?
Well, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, I love because it talks about how, you know, grace is a gift. It's not something we've earned, so no one can boast. So that's the first part. But then it says, God has prepared good works for us in advance to do. So it's both. It's not one or the other. Because sometimes I think people can be like, oh, okay, I'm a daughter of God. You know, doesn't really matter. Like, that's what I do. It's all settled. Yes, grace is that gift. But because it's a gift, there are things for us to do on this earth to glorify God, to give him thanks, to shine our light that others might come into the kingdom as well. And so I think it's just a good reminder of grace first and then action and putting feet to our faith after that.
Oh, I love that. You know, yeah, because there are works that have been created for us to do before the foundation of the universe. And if you think about that, I know there are some people that think, well, I couldn't do that like this person does, or I, you know, we compare ourselves. And, but if we would really embrace the fact that God created us, each of us, to do something special, that there is a purpose for our lives, and that we would just seek him and chase hard after him, to figure out what that is. That's a beautiful thing, I think.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, Misty, for those that are listening, I think another myth, lie, twisted truth that's out there right now is that fulfilling, living out your purpose means it's going to be this big thing that everybody sees. God might ask you to do small things that actually have huge eternal impact. And so living out your purpose isn't necessarily, you know, you're getting 2,000 shares on Facebook. It could be your Father in heaven sees you and will say, well done.
I am so glad that you said that. You know, I spent 20 years at home, homeschooling my boys and really just raising these warriors for the kingdom. And a lot of that looked like cooking meals day after day after day and load after load of laundry. And it doesn't feel glamorous, and it doesn't feel like, it feels like there, we should be doing more. But that is exactly where God had me, because I was the only person that can be their mother. I'm the only person that can be my husband's wife. And so those things are monumental. You're right, though. Our society tells us that we need these other things. And really, I think it's about being faithful where God calls you to.
Absolutely. And for some people, it might look juggling a lot, even when your kids are in the home. But for others, he might say, wait, you know. And I think instead of being like, it needs to look this way, you know, again, back to, are you following the lead of the Lord and obeying what he's asked you to do? Because again, we're not going to always get it right or do it perfectly, but then we can put our head on the pillow at night saying, I followed you, even if it looked different than Betty Sue at church, you know, or my neighbor, walking that path that he set before us.
Yes, that's so good. Well, Katie, I have so enjoyed our conversation today and know that our listeners are going to enjoy it too. So tell us where we can find your book.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me, Misty, and love what you're doing with your podcast. So if people go to katiemreid.com, that's R-E-I-D, katiemreid.com, there's lots of resources there. They can learn more about the book, Made Like Martha, Good News for the Woman Who Gets Things Done. And if they go to madelikemartha.com, they can read the first chapter of the book for free. And then we also have a email video series called Stress Less, Smile More. And it's just quick things to help you experience more peace and productivity in your day. So we'd love to encourage people to sign up for that. It's free and it just comes in your inbox. And I just share some tips. And then there's also some links to chapters in the books or in the book that will help you walk in freedom.
I love that. Stress less, smile more. Well, I think that is a perfect place to end this episode. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thanks so much, Misty.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.